Could you just repeat those five again?
Stinginess to lodgings. So stinginess as a lodging, stinginess as the family. I think probably just how one relates to family. Not being, because it's also like generosity and kindness, and being to gains or not sharing what
I think with family, I think it also relates to favoritism.
Yeah, like
favoring your own family,
favoring your own family,
keeping things within your family, not wanting to benefit others. So yeah. Like you're sort of keeping everything for your lot and not wanting to benefit others.
Yeah, that's true. Yes, I was trying to remember that. Yeah, and you find that in many many places where it's like it's everything is focused on family and not really looking toward human beings in general.
What does the lodgings bit mean? Lodgings, what is that?
Lodgings would be, this is, I'm thinking of some of the signs in America with all the sort of no trespassing signs. You will be shot. and then fame, so lodgings, family, gains, fame, that sense of, trying to, not willing to share trying to keep things to oneself. This is sort of self-aggrandizement in terms of one's recognition. May they recognize me and not recognize others. Not sort of sharing.
It might seem strange, but in some monasteries, people in a position of leadership, when they recognize that someone who's junior is quite talented or gifted or a good teacher, they will not give them the opportunity to teach. They will sort of forbid them from receiving guests, or they'll send them off to a remote place.
Obscure branch ones.
Yeah, so our good friend, Ajahn Mahaprasad, was in a situation like that in California. And he was a young monk in a monastery. And he was very, very wise, very skillful, much appreciated by the people coming to visit. And he got sent off to Nebraska or some place where there was not a very big Buddhist population.
Yeah.
Or Indiana. It was like to a kind of hinterland, quite deliberately sent off to a remote province where he was to be pushed out of the way because he was gathering too much interest and being too impressive. And the then abbot of that monastery didn't want to share the honours. Yeah. He wanted to kind of be the significant figure. So unfortunately, that kind of thing does happen, has been happening since the Buddha's time, and that is a sign of stinginess.
You could sort of imagine if something like that happened here and, say, Venerable Chitta was very popular amongst laymen. After the meal, he'd have sort of 20 people coming to see him and talk to him. Mm-hmm. But there would be nobody really wanting to talk to the one or two. Mm-hmm. That would be difficult, wouldn't it?
Depends on your mind. Your mind could go, great, he's looking after everyone, I can go take a nap. Fantastic. Carry on, Venerable. It really, joking, not joking. It all depends on the mind.
Yeah.
And it also depends on the appropriateness of, because sometimes some people seek that. And then that has to be sort of, okay, can you look at that?
Yeah. Yeah, it's not always particularly innocent. That junior person might be angling vigorously to be gaining the attention and so on. the Labha Samyutta on gains is it's got some really which I mean it's an odd term to use in English, but it's like that accumulation of fame, wealth, kudos. Greek word is a good way of describing it. So the Labha Samyutta has got quite a few discourses about the kind of downside of looking for gains in terms of material offerings or fame or wealth or power in the world. And so it's some great sutta.
The dung beetle is one of the favorites.
Unless you're the subject of it.
Yes, this is Samyutta 17, Sutta number 5. Dwelling at Savatthi. Monks, gains, offerings, and fame are a cruel thing, a harsh, bitter obstacle to the attainment of the unexcelled rest from bondage. Suppose there were a beetle, a dung eater, full of dung, gorged with dung, with a huge pile of dung in front of him. He, because of that, would look down on other beetles. Yes, sirree, I am a dung eater, full of dung, gorged with dung, with a huge pile of dung in front of me. In the same way, there is the case where a certain monk, conquered by gains, offerings, and fame, his mind consumed, puts on his robes, and carrying his bowl and outer robe, goes into a village or town for alms. Having eaten there as much as he likes, full of alms food, and invited again for the next day, he goes to the monastery and in the midst of a group of monks boasts, I have eaten as much as I like. I am full of alms food and have been invited again for tomorrow. I am a recipient of robes, alms food, lodgings, and medicinal requisites for curing illness. These other monks, though, have next to no merit, next to no influence. They aren't recipients of robes, alms food, lodgings, and medicinal requisites for curing illness. Conquered by gains, offerings, and fame, his mind consumed, he looks down on other well-behaved monks. That will be for this worthless man's long-term suffering and harm. That's how cruel gains, offerings, and fame are. A harsh, bitter obstacle to the attainment of the unexcelled rest from bondage. Thus you should train yourselves. We will put aside any gains, offerings, and fame that have arisen, and we will not let any gains, offerings, and fame that have arisen keep our mind consumed. That's how you should train yourselves. That's great.